Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We're on the corner of Floyd and Byrne.
It's beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful. Like, it's so unfair. You can appreciate these beautiful days when it rains. Just think about the day we were out here on the corner. A couple of people drove by honking, throwing those L's up. We always love that, people. That's a good ego massage.
Absolutely.
In the middle of your day. So Steve, you think, looking back on how we've covered the Jalen Johnson marijuana possession, pleading guilty of, do you think we were fair? Do you think we covered it in a fair way? And that's one part of the question. What do you think the listeners and the, you know, what do you think the overall opinion is? It because, you know, people who are going to call in have pretty much been, you know, Louisville fan that says no big deal. Is there going to be an outcry of zero tolerance, kick him off the team? Louisville fan.
No, I think that'd be a very small minority of people that say, you know, kick him off the team. Because it's just not a kick off the team.
8150, 93.9 is the number. I mean, how do you feel about this? Are me and are Steve and myself just being rose colored about this? Like, I'm curious to know an outside opinion, because I don't want my, you know, my experiences to be so heavily influenced that I can't be fair, and I just can't tell if I'm being fair on this one or not.
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think if it was during the season or closer to the season, I think maybe you catch a game suspension or a couple games just off of perception, almost like I have to.
So put on a show a bit.
Yeah, I mean, almost like, well, we were going into our senior year, basketball, and we had just come out of football season. I'll throw him under the bus because it was completely his idea, 100%. Our head coach was John Leeper. He's a principal of Collins right now. He's got the place rolling. He's
right.
Awesome. My buddy Clay talks me into throwing a party. You know?
Steve?
No, it's his fault. No. I didn't throw him under the bus
at
the time.
Don't throw him under the bus right now.
No, it was his fault.
Just own it.
1,000% his fault.
The legend of Steve Rummage shall grow with this.
No. We both got in trouble. But we had a lot of the team over. A lot of people were drinking. It was underage drinking. I mean, we're all underage.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So everybody's drinking. Well, long story short, that we have practice the next morning. A lot of people are coming in hungover. One kid just, it was ridiculous. It's like,
I like Clay too.
I wanted to just put this kid's face in. I was like, are you kidding me, dude?
Wait a minute. Your guy was... So you're saying you were
my,
mad
my man standing at the free throw line, like looking over the left, you know, looking over in the bleachers, trying
so
to shoot a free.
He was trying to show everybody he was drunk.
Yeah,
drunk.
No, I think he did, but he was putting on a little bit. It was one of those where I was like, dude,
don't you hate that guy?
Yeah, like come on. So you know, coach.
Okay, we get it. You're drunk,
coach. Who threw the party?
Wait, coach said that.
Yeah, who threw the party?
Wait a minute. Why did he go to who threw the party? Why didn't he go? Which one of y'all have been drinking?
Yeah, well, that would have been – well, he did. He said who participated. Nobody's going to say it, okay? He knows the party was at Clay's house.
Oh,
I can't let my boy go down alone because it was my idea too.
So you played with a bunch of rats.
So nobody raised a hand. Me and Clay are looking around. We're seniors. We're looking around like, ain't none of y'all silly, you know what, going to raise your hands right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, so Clay's.
So they didn't do that. It's my party, coach.
It's
my party, coach. It's my party, coach.
Yeah, no, like we all ain't standing up together.
Yes.
No, everybody's like.
I am Tiger Woods.
It was at Clay's house. So, you know, but long story short, though, we admitted, okay, hey, it was us too. But it was right at the first game of the season. Word it got out. I mean, Shepherdsville's a small town. People know everything. He had to suspend us because if that had happened during the summer, we'd have gotten in trouble. Instead, we get suspended. My grandma was at the game, man. I'm sitting at the end of the bench in street clothes. First game of my senior year. Yeah. Well, what's Steve doing? I just keep pointing at my ankle.
No.
Caught one.
Steve, hey. You better be telling a story. You did not look your grandma in the face and point at your ankle.
My ankle.
Steve.
It's bad.
How shameful of you.
It was extremely shameful.
Do you regret that? Do you?
No, I don't.
Should you not have looked Grams in the eye and said,
yeah,
I threw a party, Grandma.
Hey, Grandma, thanks for coming. I got everybody on the team drunk, so I'm going to be sitting. I'll be on the end of the bench. Yeah.
How?
I would have rather looked at her and been like, I suck. They won't let me dress. I'm a practice squad guy.
My game ain't quite where.
Yeah, I'm not very good. I'm in football shape still. I'm an all-state football player, Grandma. What do you want? All right.
I'm just a little better at
football. But point being, that was during the season, so
that was horrible, Steve. I don't know if you should have shared that story.
No, I know it's pathetic. It's pathetic. It's okay. My point is though, if this was during the season, I think Patino would have been forced to be in a situation where. But with that happening, where it's at now, anyway, you're gonna we'll go at the red white game. You're like, hey, you remember when Jalen got in trouble? I mean, like that will be the so no. No.
So there's no outrage. Yeah,
that's a long way to get to that.
Yeah,
but no.
There's just not going to be any outrage, and I've gotten pretty much okay with the lack of outrage. Now, Steve, I mean, moving right along, there was a game. Speaking of high school teammates, you know, I ran into a high school teammate at the baseball game.
Yeah,
he kind of talked about the Kentucky Louisville game, or we had a good conversation. Dan McDonald came on the Diener Show. Myself and Drew Diener. And you know how you're waiting to know what some of the upper middle level management of the University of Louisville, and by that I mean top five baseball coaches in the country, top five baseball programs in the country.
Oh, yeah.
At least definitely top 10.
Yeah.
Came in and he had some very, very sharp opinions about the game and the spat.
You're going to want to hear what he says about Tom Jurich.
Between Schnatter and Tom Jurich. Brian, can you take that away?
We go to, you know, one of the healthier-looking coaches around. That's Dan McDonald. How's your willpower with the Halloween or with the Easter candy?
Man, you're right up my alley with sweets. It's the whole reason I exercise and work out is, I got a bad – I blame my mom. I have a bad sweet tooth, and I'm talking – if you come in our office, Miss Vicky keeps, we have an M&M jar, but it's dark M&Ms.
Ooh.
So I'm a big dark, I think the older I get, you know, I get more into the dark chocolates and things like that. And man, I got a bad sweet tooth. For Lent, my wife gave up ice cream and I jumped in and gave up ice cream along with her. And it was hard, but for me, I should have given up like all sweets and chocolate chips.
Did you overcompensate with the other things?
Yeah, I just ate more cookies and brownies over the Lent season because I couldn't have the little bit of ice cream at night. But it's one of the reasons I exercise.
I was going to say, you're right food. Outside a gym right now, right? We're interrupting your workout.
No, I today was a jog day. So today, you know, whether there's elliptical, there's bike, there's some yoga, there's a variety. You know, you got to try to mix it up throughout the week. And today was just get the blood flowing and wake up and get going today.
So Dan McDonald, now that we've got all our eating and exercise habits down between all of us here on the radio, here we can talk a little baseball with Dan McDonald. What happened Tuesday? What happened?
Yeah, it's always frustrating as a coach because you know you feel you're accountable and to have your guys ready to play. And typically we're great. We talk about the first inning or the first three innings, and you know we obviously had our worst inning of the year, and it was a lot of little inside things with the bunt defense. The first and third, the pickoffs, it just was not going smooth in that first inning. So when you give up five, when you meet with the team, you show them the video, you go over the plays, you could have given up two or three. And that's what we always talk about in baseball. You're going to have bad innings. Sometimes the wheels are going to fall off. The key is minimize. Just minimize. And I said lots of times whenever you look back, even if you gave up three, you go, man, we could have just given up one or two. How much easier would it have been? Well, we gave up five. And in that case, we look back and go, man, if we'd just given up three runs instead of five, just think how much easier it would have been to come back because we ended up scoring like seven runs late. But, you know, we had the bad first inning. We made some errors. And I typically – physical mistakes I can live with. It's part of the game and it's going to happen. And so most of my video review, if not all my video review, I'm rarely ever showing – the errors, the pass balls, physical mistakes, but the mental mistakes, just to our awareness as to the game, what was happening, the scouting report, what they like to do. For some reason, we weren't there. We weren't locked in and ready to go. And like first thing I said in the outfield is I'm responsible, so I'm accountable, and it comes back to me. Obviously, what's disappointing is you guys also know that you're accountable. So we could blame me. That's not going to make anybody feel any better. You're the ones out there. You're the ones playing the game. I'm trusting you guys. You know, let's look in the mirror. Let's take it, and let's move on and get better. And so yesterday, just video review, we try to address the game notes. And typically we don't go over game notes until the next game. So right before the next game, we'll watch video review, game notes, and lead into the scouting report. But I didn't want this to linger till Friday.
Yeah.
So we knocked it out on Wednesday and move on, have a great practice today. And as we talk about the Duke series.
Well, let me back up for 1 second. I want to ask you what kind of psychological effect a triple play has in a game like that. I mean, you got everything going your way. And I don't even think either a set of announcers realized right away that it was a triple play because it didn't look like what you'd call a traditional one.
Yeah.
And
it,
so I could tell their shock. It's got a – what psychological effect does that have?
I don't – I didn't see a lot of panic or frustration. I mean, it was that's one of those just tip your hat that they made. You can always look back and say, well, we shouldn't have sent him or he shouldn't have gone or why did he do this? And, you know, at the end of the day, it's playing catch and throw the baseball. And there in that situation – they did a really good job. And you know, so you look up and go, yeah, we could have got a run or two right there, but we got none. I didn't see a lot of – there wasn't panic or frustration. It obviously kills a rally. And the two sides of it in the first inning, we talk about we're a good team, and they're obviously a good team. And you only get three outs in an inning. But when you make an error or a mental mistake, when you give a team four outs or even five outs, you're setting yourself up for failure. And all year long, we have taken advantage of teams. When they don't make a routine play or they don't make a bunt defense play or the right call, whatever, you give a good offense an extra out or two, you're going to pay for it. And so we paid for it there. On the flip side, like you said, we didn't even force them where we had runners on base and we had opportunities to score. Just a run or two, they end up making a really nice play from the left fielder, and then the catcher makes a nice play throwing it to third. And you know, like I said, you tip your hat and you move on. And I did like the way we fought. I like the way we manufactured runs. We put those seven runs up in the middle. And that's the one positive. We had some guys do it really well out of the bullpen. Riley Thompson was what we were hoping Riley was going to be. He's starting to come into his own. Adam Elliott continues to throw well. Jake Sparger threw well. But the one thing we put in our back pocket was, guys, we scored seven runs there against, you know, their best bullpen arms. We're going to need that at some point in an ACC tournament, in a regional, super regional, maybe Omaha. We're going to have to come from behind. And we just got to believe that we can always come from behind. And again, it goes back to the first thing I said. You have to minimize when bad things are happening. And we didn't do it.
Hey, Coach McDonald, Marcus Maben here. Let me ask you this. Kentucky is a really good team. Your schedule, you know, ACC, you have a lot of top-ranked teams. You know, with the Kentucky game, there's a little bit of more emotion than other games. Is there something you take out of this kind of game that you might be able to use later on in the season, like super regional time? Because, you know, maybe you only have a limited number of emotional games, like seriously emotional games left on your schedule?
You always. I mean, every game, Marcus, I have game notes. And that's usually good and bad, and we use those as teaching points. This was a game, oh, I promise, things got put in the back pocket. This was a game that, you know, there's a side of you that says, okay, if we meet up in a regional or super regional, we're going to take some things from that game that we learned. And I'll keep that to us, but because there's a good chance in college baseball, TCU faces Texas A&M, and Florida State faces Florida, and Clemson would have faced South Carolina last year if they both won their regionals. Now, you got to win your regionals, but if the season ended today, there's a good chance we could both host regionals and we could both be matched up if we won our regionals. Now, again, that's getting way ahead of ourselves.
Mm-hmm, right.
But that's, as a coach, you're always putting things in your back pocket, and you're always – and I have a binder of my game notes that I keep. And the kids know at the beginning of the season – I literally pull out last year's binder of game notes. They know it's like my favorite thing to do as a coach is to teach the game the good and the bad things that happen. And so that's why we did something uncharacteristic. We went over the game notes yesterday. We never do that. We always go over game notes the day of the game. But there were so many things that happened in that game. I just addressed the first inning, and I'll leave it at that. There were so many things that happened in that game that we addressed, thinking, okay, there's no doubt we could cycle back and have to play them again at some point.
Dan McDonald with us, U of L baseball coach here, 9th round of the Ville ESPN 680. The one thing I know about talking to coaches on U of L campus over the past 6-7 years is they go out of their way to speak about the support they get from Tom Jurich. And that is without exception and without prodding. So I'm guessing when you hear comments like John Schneider made about the athletic director that you would probably disagree with those comments. I'm just giving you a chance to react because I know this has been a universal thing from talking to coaches over the years.
Yeah, I mean, it was bizarre on our end. We were on the bus heading to Georgia Tech, and I'm not on Twitter or anything. And I you know, I'm just, like I said, put my head down, stay focused, and be in my world here. And Coach Mundorf handed me the phone and showed me, you know, the things, the comments that were made. And we just, obviously, we were shaking our head because we were like, man, John was just in our office a couple weeks ago. Like, he was literally in my office. I introduced him to Brendan McKay, and you know, I thanked him for all the things he did for the does for the university, and obviously we go on our separate ways, and then something like that comes out. Now, you know, in one sense you're like, well, obviously I'm in the dark, so there's so many things probably going on that I don't realize. But yeah, I mean, it's disappointing anytime anybody attacks your leader, because you know you're sitting there saying, okay, nobody's perfect. You know, we just celebrated Easter on Sunday. And there's one perfect person ever to walk the face of the earth. So as a coach, I'm saying, well, I know I'm not perfect, and I don't think anybody expects Tom to be perfect or anyone to be perfect, but I would stand on any rock and say he's the perfect person for this job. I mean, the perfect leader, and I've only been here going on 11 years, so I'm sure there's people that are driving. They've been here for 20 and 30 years. They have even a more appreciation of what Tom Jurich has done at the University of Louisville. The city, the fan base. I think often all the Cardinal head license plates you see, all the stickers, all the logos, all the hats, all the fans. I was at two different high school games last night, and you see little kids running around in Louisville gear. I often think to myself, what impact did Tom Jurich have on that? Like, how many families has he flipped? Has he switched? How many kids are growing up in the last 10-plus years in love with Louisville athletics because of what's happening on our campus, you know? So it always hurts when your leader gets attacked because you love him so much. But if there's anybody who's tough enough to handle it, it's Tom Jurich. And if there's anything Tom taught me is how do you handle tough times? How do you handle bad times? How do you handle – anybody can handle things when they're going great, but what he's taught me the most is when things go bad or you struggle and you go through adversity, that's the sign of a true leader. So – I just see this as an opportunity, as you mentioned. Coaches are rallying around him, as you've probably heard over the last week. Not to mention, how's he going to come out of this? And he'll come out even stronger, even better, even more locked in, because he's a competitor. Mm-hmm. And he wants to succeed. And so I love his fire and energy, and I think that's just trickling down, as you can tell, throughout the coaches on our campus, now more so than ever, to say, hey, man, let's stick together. Let's represent. Let's step up and do what we're supposed to do because our leader's counting on us.
Well, well said. That's again, that's sort of the sentiment I kind of expect with within the coaching community over there, because I'm sure, yeah, like you said, it's probably a rally cry for a lot of coaches over on campus. Quickly, what's going to happen with the series this weekend? We're looking at possibly, I mean, they're saying 100% chance of rain on Saturday. You got alternative plans yet, or what are we thinking at this point? We're not looking to get anything written in stone.
Yeah, and even so, our fans are great. They kind of understand that we change game times. Even as early as Monday, I text the Duke coach to say, hey, weather looks bad for Saturday, possible doubleheader Friday, because I just want to keep them in the loop. And we follow it every day. And so by tonight, sometimes Friday morning the latest, but it could be as early as tonight where we say, okay, 3 o'clock doubleheader on Friday, because as you said, Drew, the weather Saturday does not look good at all.
No,
and so, but with that being said, let's just say we played a 3 o'clock doubleheader starting tomorrow, Friday, 3 o'clock and then 30 minutes or so in between games. So it'd be like 3 and 6:30 or 7. And then we would always keep the game time for Saturday, and we wouldn't make the final call till Saturday morning. You wake up, you show up at the stadium, it's just raining, and you're like, all right, we're not going to mess with this. We'll play Sunday. I always want fans to pencil in Sunday, because that's typically our best crowds have been on Sunday. I mean, we get good crowds on Friday, good crowds on Saturday, but we had over 4,000 for the Wake Forest game a couple Sundays ago. And I get it. It's just you don't have as many things on your schedule maybe after church. And so I always want fans, no matter what happens Friday or if Saturday obviously gets canceled, that Sunday's game is set for 1 o'clock. And the only way we wouldn't play Sunday is if we played three games between Friday and Saturday. And it doesn't look like that right now.
Doesn't look like it's going to be the case. All right. Well, Coach, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck. We'll hear the games right here this weekend whenever we figure out a time. So thanks so much, Coach.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That was Coach Dan McDonald. Are we lucky to have Dan McDonald?
Oh, my gosh.
Are we so lucky to have Dan McDonald?
Yeah, he's tremendous. I've said this before. I go to church with two guys. They're brothers. One of them is plays for the Orioles, and the other one is a North Hardin baseball coach.
Steve, don't be shy about that.
Both of them.
Little basketball players walking up the street looking in shape.
Looking in shape, man.
Looking in good shape.
About to go hit the academic center up, I would assume.
I know, that's right.
But both of them, one of them plays for the Orioles, the other one's a North Hardin baseball coach. They both, I mean, speak so highly of Dan McDonald. Like, he is.
Derek Dunbar, our resident Minnesota Twins scout, you could glowing reviews on what Dan McDonald's
doing.
And that's from the professional level.
No, yeah, absolutely. And that's why I say I take the, my guy with the Orioles, he speaks real highly.
Steve, I always feel like I'm grabbing your attention from your phone. Why don't you just tell everybody what you're actually doing?
You know what?
I'll tell him.
Tell him.
When Steve is on his phone and he sounds a bit distracted or anything, he's on Zucker. He is on Zucker. ESPN 680 and 93.9 The Ville want to send you to Oaks and Derby. You just download Zucker, like Steve obviously has, and play the Derby theme memory game on the Zucker app. The prize package includes two tickets to Kentucky Oaks, Stakes Room Balcony, two tickets to the Derby, Finish Line Suites Balcony, three nights stay at the Galt House, two tickets to the Phillies and Lilies Party, semi-private transportation to Oaks and Derby, paddock tour on Kentucky Oaks Day, $16,586 value. All you have to do is play the Derby theme memory game. Receive unlimited entries to win the Derby experience of all time. Zucker's coming to the Louisville area, so keep playing, earning those points. You'll be able to redeem them for great deals at your favorite restaurants and shops. Now, how much fun is that?
Well, Marcus,
that's a lot of fun.
While you're speaking of the Kentucky Derby, again this year, ESPN Louisville is your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks, an exclusive home for the Triple Crown. On Saturday, May 6th, we'll have over 13 hours of Derby 143 coverage, including pre- and post-race analysis, as well as the race itself. This Derby coverage on ESPN Louisville is presented by TwinSpires.com, UPS Jobs, Kentucky One Health, and Cox's Smokers Outlet and Spirit Shop. So if you're not actually going to be out there for the Oaks or the Derby, tune right in here to 93.9 The Ville, and you'll get all that coverage.
I mean, listen, and Coach McDonald, if you were listening to the interview, he was talking about Sundays being the best days. Well, guess what, people? I'm going to triple down on Sunday being the best day. Pig roast at 502 Cafe on Sunday. Yes, you heard me. Pig roast at 502 Cafe only Sunday. Now, people, listen closely. Listen very closely and just lick your lips really quick. All you can eat buffet, $14.99. All you can eat buffet, $14.99. Music, cornhole tourney, stuffing the two hogs with brats and sauerkraut. Like, I can't believe you're not already waiting in line. Sunday, if you can go to the game, you cannot go to the game. 1923 South 4th Street. You should definitely go to 502 Cafe. Steve, I'm sorry, I was supposed to be paying attention to you. When I see the players going by on their way to take care of business, it just brings a smile to me.
Yeah.
We have student athletes, and he was being a student athlete.
Yeah, I mean, he's either going to run steps, which, I mean, they can do at the stadium, or going to the academic center.
Which is both, both.
Maybe he's going to do both.
Totally, totally justified. And Steve, you said something a little earlier. It snuck under the radar. I didn't hold you personally accountable for that, but we're going to talk about that. I'm gonna let it make it to the other side of the break before I attack you on it, right? And so, Steve, I need some help, too, just before we go to commercial break.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need your help with my curtains.
I'm not doing this.
You're a bit taller than me,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to help me with my curtains. And here's the debate that I'm having. Am I going to drag you into Walmart to help me select the curtains and then hang them up? Or am I just going to pick the curtains, go home, and then tell you to meet me at my home so you can help me with my curtains?
I'm not hanging your curtains.
Brian, you heard that debate. Are we going to test our friendship with this debate right here? I wanted to make sure I covered this debate live on air, and I want everybody to hear it because I'm putting my co-host, my partner in crime, right on the spot. Would a friend like Steve Rummage not be a friend if he doesn't help me pick out drapes for my living room?
Brian. Come on, man. Marcus needs some help, man. He doesn't have a significant other. He needs somebody to, you know, he needs that extra hand, you know? I mean, hanging curtains is a two-person job,
Steve. And an outside opinion, Brian. I don't need a hand in hanging. I need the outside opinion.
I always get a second opinion on everything. You know, I'm always like, because I always like debate it in my head.
Brian,
too long.
Do you think Steve Rummage is really going to help me? Like, he's looking at me like he's really not going to help me.
No, Steve's not going to help you. He doesn't care about your drapes.
No, and I'm not. Look, we get awkward.
Steve Rummage is not going to help me pick out curtains, people.
Yeah.
Hey, Marcus, if you need a second opinion, just send me a picture, man. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I will do no such thing.
I'll send pics back and forth all you want.
Steve Rummage. You're going to help me pick out my curtains.
We don't even have to go into it. We don't even have to go into detail. But, I mean, there's still an older gentleman at Freedom Hall that is mortified at our friendship. But this is just how we are.
Oh, because you didn't help me up the ramp.
Yeah, so I just walked. I comfortably walked right past it.
People, there's a 45-degree ramp to get from the base of Freedom Hall to the back of the Freedom Hall.
Yeah.
Steve Rummage walked right past me and waited for me at the top of the ramp while I struggled to get up it. What is our –
Steve, what kind of friend are you?
Listen, Steve Rummage would do that now.
Yeah.
Imagine what Steve Rummage will do to me when I'm 75 years old and I really need his help.
Yeah.
Imagine what he would – hey, you'd be all right.
Marcus, my back hurts too, man. Like, you know, like
listen,
I got
– listen, is the machine over there still beating?
Yeah.
Well, then you'll be fine. call a nurse yourself. You got a strong voice.
That guy couldn't get to the door to open it for you fast enough.
He's
like,
you're right.
He looked at me like, gosh, dude.
Steve's not helping me pick out my drapes. He's not helping me pick out my color scheme. I may get him to do something manly, like, you know, screw in the brackets to hang the curtains. Can you at least do that for me?
We'll eat raw steak, and I'll hang your curtains.
That works.
We'll eat raw red bloody steak.
That is a happy medium. Midday with Marcus Maben, 81.50, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 DeVille.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Midday with Marcus Maben. 81.50, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We are rolling along. We are on the corner of Floyd and Byrne. Again, people, don't be shy. Keep on throwing those L's up. We're rolling along. We've been dodging the subject because my man Steve has some resident loves for his certain sports team, so much so that he disses our former players in lieu of his sports teams that he loves.
I do.
Terry Rozier, Bulls, you said something that I kind of didn't like.
Right.
You meant it, and now I'm starting to kind of think about it, and you might be right. Our NBA fans, our resident NBA fans in the house, are the Bulls really going to sweep the one seed Celtics?
I don't know if they're going to sweep them, but they've looked like the better team.
Is that have
it's why LeBron ducked them.
Have Butler and Dwayne Wade just been sandbagging it the entire year?
Dwayne Wade hasn't been playing for the last 2-3 months, so.
Dwayne Wade doesn't play until the playoffs for the last 2 or 3 years, Steve.
Well, that's okay. Rondo's playing. I mean, Rondo's doing his thing.
He looks good.
He almost had triple-double in the first half.
He's on a perfect team to do that with. Yeah. That's the only type of team they can do.
And their bigs, I mean, they're having a different big. Bobby Portis stepped up. I mean, Robin Lopez stepped up. They've all been. I mean, they've looked better than the Celtics. I mean, right. I think that's. I'm not saying they're going to win the series. Now, I don't know.
Now,
they may not.
Now, just talking about a little bit of NBA for a second. I talked about this earlier. So some people only listen to Midday with Marcus Maybach. Some people only hear from 10 to 12, and they're happy enough with their day. And again, people, if you missed the show from 10 to 12, go to the podcast. Go to ESPNLouisville.com. Scroll down to Midday with Marcus Maybach, and you can listen to the podcast anytime on your ride home if you're bored or you don't have a better option on who to listen to. Anytime you jump in the car, just get on your phone, go to ESPN Louisville, go, you know, it'll just take you right to the link. You can listen to me all the time. Like, why wouldn't you? I'm giving you knowledge from every single angle. But point being, I broke a story. I didn't break a story. I made a comparison that nobody can argue with, maybe. Have you been watching this playoff basketball?
I have.
This playoff basketball has been the most aggressive physical basketball you've seen in the last 10 years. Agreed?
Yeah.
Remember how every year, or do you recall that every year when it gets to playoff time in college as well as professional, I tell you that all those rules and all those guys that are good at drawing fouls, a.k.a. James Harden, you know, Steph Curry, all those things that send people to the line start getting exposed. And it's not because the referees decide to start cheating. The referees know that this is playoff. Every foul counts. Every free throw. James Harden had 38, 39, 40 points. He went to the line 20 times. As the playoffs move forward, that line number is going to drop, going to the free throw line. All those free throw numbers are going to fall.
Yeah.
Just like in college basketball, people, start watching tournament basketball, NBA, because it's just like college. It's now desperation basketball.
Yeah.
It is the most aggressive form of athletic competition that you will ever see. And I'm talking about in the third quarter, in the second quarter. Like, this is some aggressive wild brands of basketball.
No, I agree with you 100%.
I was going to say
100%. I mean, it's fun to watch.
Did you watch Harden and Westbrook last night?
Yeah, oh yeah, they're going at it.
51.
See Westbrook
points.
Dropping F-bombs in the post game?
Of course he did.
Yeah. I mean, that's
did you see the Memphis coach and how angry he was about his team not getting calls?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, everybody's out of character in the playoffs.
No.
Or the character has been brought out.
No, I agree. Can I say something real quick, too, off topic? I feel like we owe this to the people, that we need to throw this out there. Just a little off topic. We can get back to it. We were talking about Jalen Johnson earlier, and this stuff happened. And Louisville is meeting with the NCAA today. So you're presenting. I hate to do that right in the middle because I'm with you. I want to talk this because, I mean, we're going to get together tonight. We're going to watch some NBA basketball. That's what we're going to do.
After you help me pick out curtains?
Maybe. We may swing by there. So, but
let's see if I can pencil you.
But I feel like we had to bring this up. I mean,
somebody, feel free to contact us at the studio, 8150-939. If you want to invite us out to dinner, and the place has to have a TV.
Yes, multiple
TVs. So if you know, listen, if our man Jay Ruzy, what are we going to call Jeff? What are we going to call? Somebody has to have a TV available for us and a nice complimentary meal for us. Because we will gush about your restaurant.
Oh, absolutely we will.
For an entire day.
Yeah.
All you do is just invite us out there and we're there.
Yeah. No, we'll be there in a heartbeat. So.
Steve, that was me trying to bail out of this conversation.
I'm sorry.
Steve.
I know. I hate to do it.
Control the show, Steve. You sit in the one chair sometimes, Steve. You need to control this narrative.
Well,
right now.
Here's the deal. On one hand, I think I'm going to repeat it. Louisville is meeting. They're presenting their case to the NCAA
Snatch
today.
Off the Band-Aid today.
Yeah. I'm hoping
conspiracy
this
theory.
Is good.
Conspiracy theory. This just hit the news, Steve, because they knew that we were meeting with the NCAA today.
I mean,
somebody knew that we were meeting. Let's see, who would know and who would have an inside track to the NCAA and decide that today you're going to meet with the NCAA? Let's leak some information about Jalen Johnson. Citation. Don't let me do that. That was me. No, that was a low blow.
I will say no. I mean, I know. No,
that was a low blow, Marcus.
No, it was. Everybody. I mean, it begs the question. I mean, with the comments we've heard, but I mean, it's. Here's the thing.
Are you excited about that, Steve?
A little bit and
oh,
not.
Oh, God.
That's why I hate this whole thing, because part
of
me goes.
Are you only not excited about it because of the Jalen Johnson incident?
No, because I don't think that plays into it as much.
We've been dying
Louisville hammered themselves. That's why I actually like what the president, he sent out the letter yesterday, that, and I actually like what he said about, look, we've done enough.
81-50, 93-9. People chime in right now. Today's the day. The Louisville meets with the NCAA infractions
committee. Yeah.
Committee.
Yeah. So they're just presenting their case. Now, one reason I do like this is because if it's happened this quick, I think it's fair to say that by when we start next season, this is over.
Oh, guaranteed.
You know, so that's good. I don't want to go through another season with this on the back.
There's no way it takes more than 60 days to get a final decision.
No, and if I'm Louisville, I push for it. I say, look, no.
This is our case. Expedite. Yeah. You're killing our recruiting.
Yeah.
Year after summer after summer after summer.
Yes. We got
10 5-stars that want to sign with Louisville. And they're just waiting on a decision.
So on that aspect, yeah. But I mean, on the other.
That was hyperbolic, people. We don't have 10 5-stars waiting to sign.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
No, because you know what happened. Technically,
you don't have 2.6 million listeners because this city is only alone.
It's very possible.
86,000.
But I mean,
I'm giving you a hard time too, God. You know, I understood. You know,
on
you're going to be the butt of my jokes for a little bit.
On the flip side of that, though, I mean, there's always the worry of, okay, what if, you know, what if they throw a fit? What if they decide they're going to lay the hammer down on Louisville?
Make an example out of us,
which would be, I think Louisville would have a court case to the point of. You need to legally show us where the punishment met the crime. So I'm not all that worried.
We have 20 examples of precedents that say you've covered exactly your bases.
Yeah, and I've seen of course I've seen that from Jeff Greer. I mean,
so it's solid.
Yeah,
that's why you went with that news.
Yeah, I mean, because Jeff's our guy, man.
Give me anxiety level. Hey, how do we find out where this meeting is going on? How do we make their trip better? Like, do we invite them over to 502 Cafe? Do we like what?
Well, if it's happening here, I mean, there's a good chance it's in Indianapolis.
Are they riding around? Okay, so they're not on campus actually doing this. And, we got to find out where they're at, Steve. We got to butter them. Let's go wash their cars or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they could be on campus. I mean, I would assume they're probably meeting
Indianapolis in would make more
Indy,
sense. Yeah.
You know. But
so you're nervous now?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. A
like,
little bit.
A newfound nervousness.
Well, it's what you were talking about earlier. I mean, anytime you get pulled over, you're like, oh, I'm kind of nervous. I know I wasn't doing anything,
right.
But I mean, I'm kind of nervous.
I think. But I didn't have a shady passenger with me.
Yeah. So
last week.
In this case, I mean, I think I feel that way. I feel like we've got pulled over, and I'm like, well, I mean, I've already paid the fine. But, I mean, are you going to do anything else to me? Because Louisville's punished themselves harshly punished themselves. But there is a point of me goes, does the NCAA, since they really can't do nothing to Carolina, are they going to turn around and do something else to us?
Yes.
I mean.
Yes.
Because Carolina's making them look like idiots?
And just found out that the agent's been paying players and making them feel comfortable staying in school.
Yeah.
And they know they're going to have to deal with that. So, it's like, that is such a 50-50 call.
Yeah.
A spit in the face violation. You can't do anything to us because it's an academic issue.
I did again, I'm going to go back to this. I like what the president said in his article, and I hope that's the attitude.
Greg Postal.
I hope that, yeah, Trump's not speaking on our behalf today, I don't think. I don't think. But, I said the president, so.
No, he's the interim. President of the University of Louisville.
No, there we go. That'd make a lot of people happy. So
you didn't call him the POTUS. Greg POTUS.
Greg Postal. Yeah. I hope that's the attitude, and I think it is, that Louisville's going in there with. They go in there and say, no, hang on. We've done enough. So you guys need to speed it up because we've done everything we can do. We've made y'all look stupid. way we've handled it.
Committee of infractions, but this is not. Wait, are we talking about the prosecution committee of infractions or the membership who actually levies the punishment?
I believe
the meeting today is the judge. We're going
I believe. And Kelly Dickey could probably really help us out on this. I believe they're meeting with the infractions committee today, which is the big dog.
This is our day in court.
Yeah.
Not the compliance, not anything. Yeah. This is our day in court.
Right.
Golly.
Your day in court, this should be easy. This should be like, hey, this is my day in court, but I've already served the time. So this is just
Dave, what do you know about time served?
I know a ton. I pay child support. I mean, I've never had to serve time over it, but I've been to court.
I pay child support.
I've been to court to set it up.
To avoid time served, I pay my child support.
Let me clear that up. I've been to court because we were setting it up,
right.
I pay on time.
No, I thought you were actually making reference to time served. Like,
no,
I was in jail waiting for my court date, and now that.
No. I've never. Thank goodness I've never been to jail. I don't ever want to go to jail.
Where you have to wait to your court date. Like,
that's why. So if we're all in a group and the police stop by, y'all can. I'll lose some street cred.
and you'll.
Yes, sir.
And you'll
yes,
run. Sir. No, you want it. You'll run, Steve.
I'll run. I'll be Cedric the Entertainer. Yeah. I don't know why everybody else took off running. I took off running.
Yeah. You're the type that would sacrifice me as well.
Yes.
That's one more.
Yes. That's one more. I'll jump a barbed wire fence if that's what it takes.
Right. You're right.
Because when we run, I'm gonna look at the guy next to me, and I'm just going to let him know immediately. I'm going to say, are you willing to do what I'm willing to do?
Again, people, breaking news.
Yeah.
Louisville will see the meet. They will have the meeting with the committee for infractions.
Yeah.
And we will. I would.
That's happening today.
Yes, I would venture to say within 60 days.
Yeah, you would hope.
Maybe sooner. Maybe sooner.
Well, because even if, and I still stand behind.
This is April 20th, May, June.
Well, because why do Louisville fans, why do we have to feel bad about saying this? And I'm going to say it. I don't feel bad about saying I don't think Rick should be suspended. I think there's part of us that feel like we almost have to say,
You know why you have to feel bad? You have to feel bad because it was so fast and it was over so fast and you responded with a good team.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a postseason ban. Coming back with Quinn Snyder, who averages 8 points a game. We were supposed to have two rebuilding years. Steve, when we took that ban, it was supposed to be horrible Louisville basketball, and you were supposed to have pressure on Rick to see if he got it anymore. Like, the narrative was already, ha ha, ding dong, the witch is dead. Like, I'm serious, people. Everybody on the outside, as soon as you banned yourself, that was almost seen as a personal death penalty. They're not going to be able to recruit. No kid is coming there after your hookers and strip. All that conversation was supposed to kill your program. That's why I said it on day one, and you people went into a panic when I said Tom Jurich will not be here through this. He has handled the situation so flawlessly that he will be asked to come be a presidential style PR man. A major and a major step up from athletic director. I mean, but he loves it. But my point being, we're uncomfortable with it because we feel guilty that we rebounded so well. We feel guilty that it was handled so classfully, so take it on the chin. And that's what made it over so fast.
Yeah.
It was at the end of the year. We were pumped. But that punch in the gut at the time, people, you don't remember how hard that punch was because you just watched a season of – you got a 2 seed.
Yeah.
A year off of a postseason ban. You were a 2 seed and you smacked Duke in their mouth, you smacked Indiana in their mouth, you smacked Purdue around, you smacked Kentucky around.
Yeah.
You got a 2 seed. Yes, you went out early, but you were supposed to be in recovery. And then Mott's transfers, not saying that's a great thing, but scholarship situation, you got through a season. Now Dwayne Sutton is eligible. You have a Malik. You have everything you want.
Squad,
you're
man.
So happy that when somebody comes in the room, you're supposed to while we're all celebrating in this room, we took it the right way. We did our thing. When somebody else comes in the room, which you're so happy about.
Yeah.
You still got to go in front of the committee for infractions. You still going to get your ban. No, we're not.
No, I just don't think they do anything else. I mean, they may still suspend Patino for a certain amount of time. I think that's wrong.
And he's going to challenge that.
And he should.
Yes.
He should.
Yes.
Just like I don't mind him challenging the because the, I mean, that's one thing. Like, they.
That's your name. That's your name on the line. When you accept a punishment, your name is on the
and
line.
And he's still challenging the failure to monitor Andre McGee.
Yeah. And that needs to always be said. Failure to monitor Andre McGee, not failure to monitor your basketball
no,
players
that's
and your
a big
team or your coaches. That's
your
a
program.
Huge difference.
That's a big
and
time
your brand and your Brandon Williams is your trump card.
And I went from saying, "Oh, Brandon Williams is one of them dudes that they just ducked out," you know,
right.
to where when I heard the real story, I said, "No, I don't blame him."
Listen again, people. We will refresh your memory on all this because this is day in court. The documents of the from the Committee of Infractions, the accusation was that Louisville demonstrates a history of non-compliance. They cited something from 1956 in an actual report of accusations. You cited something from 1956. You cited something from Samaki Walker. Samaki Walker was there before I was there quite some time ago.
Apparently Brandon Williams is at the meeting today.
And Brandon Williams is going to be at the meeting. Now that's a trump card if I ever seen one. That means he's not dodging you at all. And I'm going to go basically, people, the man, our co-defendant Brandon Williams that was brought in to testify, he's about to testify.
This
on
is a good
behalf.
Day. This is going to be a good day.
This
is going to be a good day.
Day.
Let's end it
this
today,
day
baby.
With Marcus, baby. That's always 81-50-93-9 is the number on 93.9. I'm pumped. The Ville.